serving the communities of Santa Cruz and Los Gatos, you're listening to Pirate Cat Radio, KPCRLP, 92.9 FM Los Gatos, 101.9 FM Santa Cruz.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Meyer, and you're listening to Drinks with Tony.
Get on the Drinks with Tony show. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. You're listening to Drinks with Tony. I'm your host, Tony Duchesne. Today on the show, we have Caitlin Meyer, straight out of North Portugal right now with us, a writer friend of mine. She's on Patreon, so you can look her up there, where she posts, and I'm a follower as well. She posts photos from her beautiful city where she lives now, and we knew each other in San Francisco. Caitlin, how are you?
I'm swell. How are you doing?
I'm great to see your face, that's for sure. I have photos of us. I don't know if I sent them to you from earlier this year when I was
Guimarães. No, you came to visit.
Yeah.
Guimarães.
Oh, so much fun. How do I say it?
Yeah. Guimarães.
Guimarães. It was
perfect. Excellent. Nailed it.
Yeah. And with my Vino Verde and my Super Bach and my
I have my Vino Verde here. It's evening here. The sun is going down. So
yes, we're recording 8 hours away from each other, but with the innovation of the worldwide internet's webs, we can see each other and talk.
Yes.
Who knew?
Thank you to the internets. Amazing.
So before Portugal, my friend Caitlin traveled all over the world. And I was like, let's talk about your travels and let's talk about some cities and regions. Cause I didn't even, and this came in my head too, because when we were hanging in Portugal and we were all talking, you were like, well, when I was living in Sri Lanka, and I was like, wait, what? You were living in Sri Lanka? And I was realizing, I don't even know where you were traveling, but I know you did this wonderful thing. I think it was called I Walk at Night. Was that what it is?
Caitlin Walks at Night.
Caitlin Walks at Night.
That was my Instagram.
Now, first off, I like the story behind it. Can you tell our listeners what the story of Caitlin Walks at Night is?
Yeah, so, how to approach this? Well, there's...
I know exactly how you feel, because... I was at a meeting. I was at a lunch with a bunch of people, and Eric Stoltz was there, and the executive producer, Madam Secretary, who I didn't really know that well. And he just looks at me and goes, "So Tony, what's your story?" I'm like,
start?
Yeah. And I looked at Eric, and then Eric looked at me like, "You're an idiot." And then he goes, "Me and Tony did a film together." And he goes, "Oh, okay." I'm like, oh, that's all he wanted is to know? Oh, he was trying to just figure out why I was at the table. I was the idiot in the situation. And I was like, oh, well, shucks. I was like, where do I start? Do I start in 1969 or so?
Yeah. I mean, where do I start with the night walking?
The problem is we're writers. So when someone says, tell us the story, we have a novel in our mind.
We do. I have discovering that I liked walking at night when I was 9 years old.
Oh, really?
And I wasn't supposed to be out at night. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, then, so walking, again, as a teenager,
it was an act of rebellion.
Yeah. I'd sneak out my bedroom window in the middle of the night and wander the empty streets. I loved it.
Wow.
I've always loved being up when nobody else was. But then as a grown up, after I left my marriage, I started taking photos when I walked at night. And, you know, a lot of it was because I was living alone, and especially during my traveling years, I was on purpose alone most of the time. And it's at night when things can really kind of close in around you, and you can start to feel like your problems are enormous and you can't get out of them, and you start to you start to catastrophize, and or you just try to escape into Netflix, or so often just to get out of my head, I would just go out for a walk. And there was also I didn't really think about it much. It was only when I started posting photos to Facebook back in the days, back in the olden days when people posted things to Facebook.
I still do. I'm with all the geriatrics over
Yay.
there on Facebook I'm like, remember, kids?
There was a time, it was a beautiful place. But I started posting these night walk photos to Facebook, and I started getting feedback from people saying, oh, you're so brave. Oh, it's so cool that you're doing this. You're a woman walking at night. And I was like, oh, is this a thing? Am I doing a thing? Oh, I guess I'm doing a thing. And people would say, aren't you scared? And honestly, most of the bad things that happened to me happened in the daytime, happened in places that were supposed to be safe. So I don't feel more vulnerable at night than I do in the day. And depending on where I go at night and what time of the night it is, I can feel safer than any other time. It feels like the place belongs to me.
I love that.
I mean, I lived in one of the worst neighborhoods in San Francisco for a time. It was at 6th and Market.
Oh, dear Lord. Because I lived on Geary and Polk, and I was just like, oh, yeah, I lived in the Tenderloin too. And then you're like, Sixth and Market. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's nice. For the people that don't know, there's levels to the Tenderloin, and Sixth and Market is rough. It was. I
It's
don't know what it is
rough.
now.
Yeah, same. The day I moved in, they were hosing blood off the sidewalk from shooting right next door. And I would get up at 4 in the morning and go for a run. And there would be the people sleeping on the street who might be awake at that time. They knew me, and they would say hi as I went running by and be completely respectful at that time. It was like a kind of secret society. And then around 5 o'clock would be the early morning workers coming into work, getting off the buses. And I don't know, it was kind of a special time in place. So it's everywhere that I've lived in the world, big city, small village, countryside, I've gone for walks at night.
So
And you get a different sense of place.
let's talk about a few of the destinations. Like, how many places have you lived? And well, by the way, how did you choose to go to these certain places? What did you have something set up where you were like house sitting, and or there was like what was the what were how do you go, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to Sri Lanka, and then.
Yeah, it was not very well planned out or formal. It was very I would talk to people and tell them what I was doing. And if I talked to enough people, somebody would say, oh, well, I know somebody who knows somebody in Uruguay, and maybe we can hook you up. And So it was chance, it was opportunity. I'd go where it was cheap or where I had a place to stay. Sometimes I had a resident, an artist residency. Sometimes I could house sit. I told my brother that I wanted to go to South America, and we were sitting down to lunch, and we started arguing. He said, "Oh wait, I have a friend from Uruguay, and let me text him and see if he knows of anything." So he was texting with his friends, and then my brother and I started arguing about politics. And by the time my sister-in-law had gotten fed up with the argument and had left the table, my brother had heard back from his friend who said, "Oh, my mom's best friend has an open room. She said you can come stay with her in Montevideo."
So cool. Okay. So
So just
how,
like that.
so then that was in Montevideo? Is that how you say it?
Montevideo, yeah.
Yeah. So how long did
Yeah.
you stay there?
3 months. 3 months is about the length of a tourist visa.
Okay.
So that's my standard. That was my standard amount of time. And part of the idea of the traveling was I wanted time alone. I realized 3 months was about long enough to get to know a place, start to meet people, start to get sucked into a social scene, and then it was time.
Yeah, no, I know. I think I froze up here for a second. My
Yeah,
internet
sorry about
connection
that.
is, I was, it's like, oh, you're in a remote Portuguese town, a town in Portugal. I'm like, no, I'm in the middle of Los Angeles. It's my internet. It's called Spectrum. I hate it. So yeah, our infrastructure, quote, but that's so, did you immerse yourself in Spanish too? Did you know some Spanish when you were there? How do you get by the language barriers of like somewhere where you go in? Because I don't think Uruguay is somewhere where you can get by really easily on English.
No, you could no, you can't. I had some Spanish. I had lived in Barcelona before that.
Oh, okay.
But Castilian Spanish is very different from Uruguayan Spanish. So I was knowing that I was going to talk to you, I started reminiscing, and I remember the cab ride from the airport to Sylvia's house. This woman I'd never met before. And the cab driver is speaking to me, and I can't understand a word he's saying. And I'm digging through my mind, trying to remember my bits of Spanish. And I'm like, "The moon. How do I say moon in Spanish?"
Oh, wow.
Like, it was all the languages, bits and pieces of languages,
Yeah.
sometimes get all mushed together in my head. But I got into it. I found my footing.
Yeah.
I would often, before going to a place, I would often, find some basic lessons just to learn a few words, enough to say, coffee,
Yeah.
where's the bathroom?
Yeah. I'm having a heart attack.
Yes,
Donde está hospitalization? Yeah.
so, I'm sorry, officer.
I'm sorry, officer is a really good one. I have no nar and then also learning I have no narcotics or arms on me. Or firearms, I mean. If that was the only thing you could say, and then people are trying to talk to you and say, hola, and you're like, I don't even know what that means. I have no arms, I have no firearms or narcotics on me. I know, we're just trying to say hi at a bar.
I like to say that I would learn enough of a language to get into trouble and not enough to get out of it.
Yeah, I like that. How long were you in Barcelona?
I did a few 3 month stints because my day job, which is with a translation agency, they have an office in Barcelona. So often when people were on summer vacation, they would ask me to come work in the office.
Oh,
So
cool.
in total, I've probably been almost a year in Barcelona,
Yeah.
but in 3 month visits here and there.
Yeah.
So that's a
Were
great city.
right. Were you translating, or did were you like working on other projects in the translation company?
I was a project manager.
Okay.
It's
Yeah.
I wrangle translators.
Cool. That sounds fun. Barcelona sounds fantastic. I mean, I know they're having a hard time with the digital nomads and the tourists that are it's not easy. I mean, especially in Portugal, you're seeing it firsthand with how insane prices have gone up just because people go, "Oh, wait, I'll go there because it's, the
It's cheap.
swear word is cheap." Because that's not, it's like not, it's not how you want to present yourself to a place, and go, "Oh, hi, I'm here because it's cheap." You want to learn about a place and integrate. You don't want to just go there for a sale.
Just to suck out
Right,
its resources
to hurt all the
an empty husk.
locals, which has got to be just sad to watch, because you've been there almost 10 years, right, in Portugal?
7 years,
Okay.
but the first time I came here was 2011,
Yeah.
and it's changed vastly.
Yeah.
When I came here the first time, even in Lisbon, very few people spoke English. I knew that things had changed radically in 2020, 2021, between lock, maybe 2020, 2021. Anyway, between lockdowns,
Yeah.
I went to a restaurant in Porto, and the waiter spoke to me in English, and I replied in Portuguese. No, it's okay, I speak Portuguese. And he said, "Oh, I don't."
And we've just become Disneyland.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get a job working with the public in Porto, not even in Lisbon, and not speak Portuguese.
Yeah.
Gentrification is real and it's terrible. And
I got a real kick out of talking to the younger people in English, and their English was so good when I was in Portugal. And I kept asking, like, "How are you so great? You're like better at me speaking English than I am." And they were
they're
just
like
like,
television.
"Television, yeah."
Yeah,
And
yeah.
even when I was in Paris, it's like, yes, some people, especially when you get out of the tourist area, it's like English is not spoken a lot. And so when they do speak English, my go-to, I mean, I'm just like, "Thank you." I'm not that guy that's like, it's just like, "Oh, thank you, 'cause I'm trying to learn as much as I can." But at the same time, I'm like, "How do you speak it so well?" And this woman who was kind of just, she was kind of, I was in this little area. It was called Saint-Georges. I think that's how you say it, in the Pigalle area of Paris. And
Yeah,
in the ninth,
for sure. Yeah.
and I love that area, but there's a certain, I realized I was going to this little spot that was kind of just all the college kids. Kind of the and I know we can't swear, but the word starts with A and it ends in holes. But
Yes,
it was just like,
yes,
it was just these
yes.
dumb Parisian college kids that would just go get drunk at this place. So that I was starting to realize that's why she had an irritation. But then I just asked her, I was like, how do you speak English so well? And all her eyes lit up and she goes, I watched Friends. I watch every episode of Friends. And I was like, when you talk, you have a slight New York accent. It's like kind of freaking me out. And she goes, yeah, she goes, I've heard that before. It's and I'm just like, it's such a trip. And it's so like that's when it's just like just to approach. I know, because I know people get frustrated, or tourists and travelers get frustrated when, especially in Paris, when they're like, oh, they're all rude. It's just like, no, you have no idea. They are like warm and open. You just have to kind of like just
Just have
ask
to
some
try it
questions, and they're
and be
excited.
an A.
Yeah. You don't need to, you don't need to, it's, I feel like people try to push themselves when they travel, especially to places that are big travel destinations, where like, I'm from San Francisco, and people are like, who cares? It's like, when you get there, be there and be the guest, which you've done very well, so well that the country goes, can you just stay? Can you be with us? The entire country of Portugal says to Caitlin, don't go back.
Don't go. Yeah,
Obrigado.
no. Sorry, I'm trying to adjust my light here. The sun is going down, so
Oh, yeah. So Barcelona, we got Barcelona in the books. We got Montevideo, which my Spanish tutor would be very happy with. I need to take lessons again, but it's my neighbors, my a lot of my neighbors barely speak English. They speak Spanish, so they keep trying to practice with me because I was like more immersed in it before I left for Europe. And then when I came back, all of a sudden I was like, ooh, money's a little tight. I can't do the tutor thing for a while. And I haven't been personally practicing, and so my neighbors are kind of getting on me. They're like, buenas tardes. I'm like, oh, buenas tardes. And then I try to talk and they get mad at me, and I'm like, oh, no practicando. And then they're just like, oh. Ooh, and anyway, so that's a lot of fun. But so we got Barcelona, we got Montevideo, which now I know how to
Montevideo.
say, and if I know how to say it, I might go there one day. What's another city that you popped into?
So in let's hop over to Asia.
Yes, let's just poof.
So I stayed in Nepal in Kathmandu
Wow.
for a time, and that was, I'd been traveling for a couple of years by that point, and I thought, I've got this. And I was not prepared for how different it felt. And I made a friend on the airplane, this young man who like invited me over to meet his family, and I have stayed friends with them ever since. It was just an instant assault of colors and dust, because half the streets are not paved. The morning sounds from Kathmandu, like first thing in the morning, was the women pumping water from the well.
Wow.
And then the next sound was, I lived next door to the music school for the police band. And that would be, then begin with reveille, somebody playing reveille on a bugle.
Wow.
And I became a fan of more advanced students playing
Yeah,
reveille.
yeah.
And then the next sound I would hear was my neighbor hacking up his lungs. Was so loud that I could hear it through the wall. At the end of the day, after walking around town, I would cough into the sink and it would be black.
Really?
Just,
Because is the air
yeah.
quality is really bad?
It's the
Oh,
dust,
okay.
because I mean, it's a big city, but a
Yeah.
lot of unpaved streets or,
Yeah.
half paved streets. So it's just kicking up dust all the time. Dust
Yeah.
and dirt all the time. The water quality is terrible. There are student Gen Z youth protests going on right now,
Oh.
which I think are long overdue. The government's been a mess there for a long time,
Yeah.
but I fell in love with it and I
Now,
stayed with the family.
when you fall in love with it, do you fall like how long does it take you? Because for me, when I go somewhere, I have that first honeymoon moment, and then I know I'm doing something right when I start to get irritated with the in, not irritated like because of touristy type things, but just like kind of irritated with the culture a little bit and like going, oh,
Right,
but then I
right.
kind of adjust. And kind of come a little bit together, and then it's just like, oh wait, I'm the idiot. So when then and then I realized that, and then I kind of engage in the culture or engage with whatever wherever I'm at even more, and then by the time I'm ready to go, I don't want to leave.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
so what when do you fall in love with a place like Kathmandu?
It depends, Some places, like in Montevideo, I was really alone. I was staying with this friend's mother, but she was a doctor. She had her own life to live, so I was alone. And very often, people find this weird because I, went all these different places without knowing anybody. I would be terrified. The first couple of days, I'd be, the social anxiety would be so intense that I would hide until I got really, really hungry. So, like a day or two.
Yeah.
And then when I got hungry enough, I would crawl out of my hole and go try to interact with people, try to, order in a cafe, which sounds simple, but just these tiny social norms that are different from one place to another. And I never wanted to call attention to myself. I never wanted to piss people off. I never wanted to be obviously a tourist. Often I was
Yeah.
obviously foreign, so I was terrified of doing the wrong thing. Which sounds stupid,
I don't think it
so
sounds stupid at all, 'cause I feel like when you're when we not we're not only going through a culture like smash cut when we go to a new place, we're like on the other side of Earth. And I think there's we're in a time where we can do that, where 100 years ago it would take, 100 years ago it would take a month maybe, or
Yeah,
maybe or
just
you
to
know
get
maybe
there.
at least two, if you want to get a, if you wanted to go from North America to Europe, you're on a ship for a while, and then you go 100 years before that. When you get there, there's no cars to pick you up. You're on horses to get to the so I think as we are, as our brains are kind of collectively evolving and integrating this new technology, it is, I think it's really disconcerting to who we are, because we're probably not grown into it enough yet to be able to be, it's for me to be in Los Angeles and be in Portugal within 10 hours or 11 hours. And then you just sit there with being on the other
Bonkers.
side of Earth and just realizing how insane that is in general to have that access. And I feel like that is, for me, that's also part of the anxiety, where it's just like, especially I'm, it's just like, oh my God, what, I was in New York. I took a Xanax and I had three beers and I got on a flight and I snoozed a little bit and it was like nerve-wracking, hurling through space and time and time zones. And then I landed and everything's okay. And now I'm in my hotel and all of this, it's all kind of easy in a weird way when it shouldn't be easy. And then all of a sudden it's hard because we're on the other side of Earth. So I
And it
don't,
was not a
I,
gradual getting there. It was sudden.
yeah, exactly. And maybe that's why it feels more isolating, because it's not like we got on the horses with Bill over at the Normandy coast, and we rode through all these different towns slowly, where they're like, "Oh my God, did you see Madame blah blah blah?" And by the time you get to a certain place, you're kind
And
of
Bill, he's a stand-up dude. He knows everybody.
Bill,
Comes
he not
free.
only knows everybody, he'll like lend you money and then forget that you owe him. He's amazing. But even like taking the ship across the Atlantic, you're getting to know people on there that will also be on the same journey. This is 100 years ago or whatever. And then now it's just like we're on a flight, we look at each other and we're just like, "Hey, we're gonna be okay for a while." What, right? We're not gonna fight. We're not gonna throw punches in the sky. Okay, cool. And then you land and you're like, "Well, it was nice being amicable with you, and I'm sure we'll see each other again," and you never see this person again, and then you're on your own.
That is not something that would occur to me. Thank you. Thank
Yeah,
you for the window into
into my brain.
world from a man's perspective.
Oh my God, the dude on the flight out of Porto to Paris, I wanted to kill him on the flight, because he was like, he was just so loud and talking to this woman, and like kept like just banging me, and I'm like, if we were on a bus in San Francisco, this would be like, dude,
You'd be
it would
beaten.
be immediately like, don't. But here I have to, I'm here, I am the visitor, so I'm
Stuck.
just,
You're stuck in this tube.
and I don't know what happens when I challenge somebody, so I better become very relaxed with this guy's elbow into my rib every 3 minutes. Anyway, EasyJet. Thanks, EasyJet.
So that's some places it would take me some time to warm up to.
Yeah, so what would be a, what's let's think of another city where you hid for a while until you felt comfortable coming out.
Let's see. There have been a few. Well, it wasn't a city. So I spent a lot of times in small towns and villages because that was often cheaper, or just where something offered itself. So, Greece, I was in a village named a suburb of Athens called Dionysus. That place I hid for a time. Istanbul, absolutely hid. I
Oh yeah.
absolutely hid Istanbul. I was terrified. Because I knew that I was going to do something wrong. I wondered about getting a headscarf because I
Right.
realized after I got there that the neighborhood where I was staying was a more traditional neighborhood. So most of
Yeah.
the women on the street were covered. There were man bars. So the only bars were only men. I stopped after I became a little more comfortable there. I stopped outside of one man bar to take a picture, and in just the amount of time it took for me to lift my phone, this guy appeared just behind the window inside the door, and this other guy appeared from outside. And saying, "Boyrun, can I help you?" And I'm like, "Ah, can I have a photo?" But it
So
was maybe
how long were you in Istanbul?
3 months. Three
Did
months in
were
Istanbul.
you able to integrate and make friends there, or that was one of the easy cultures to do that in, or?
It was actually. It took some time. but I ended up with a circle of Kurdish friends who were very cool. They were artists, and you know, they all shared an apartment, and it's, I mean, I do often find myself gravitating to the people who are a little bit on the outside of the culture. So in Turkey, it was against the law to speak Kurdish for many years. So for a lot of these people, they spent their formative years not being able to speak Kurdish in public. And so they know all of these, they would play these Kurdish songs for me, but in Turkish, sing them in Turkish because it wasn't legal to speak Kurdish. And my last day in the city, I'd stayed over at their apartment before catching the plane out. And I flew out on May 1st, which is International Workers' Day, and it's also a common day for demonstrations, and often it's also a day for Kurdish pride. And so my friends were all planning to go to the big shopping street, Istiklal, to take part in some manifestations. And it was more celebratory that year, but we were waiting at the bus stop for a bus to come get us, and buses kept going by on the overpass and not stopping. And then I noticed that I was like, oh, I'm getting a sore throat. And my friend Errol said, gas, tear gas.
Oof.
And then we saw that there were cops just in the middle of the street setting off tear gas canisters. And we finally got on a minibus, and it was a Kurdish neighborhood, and so it was almost all Kurdish people on there, except for one guy who got on, and we saw cops in the street who were setting off canisters of tear gas, and this dude said something, and Errol stood up and just dressed him down, you know, and then the bus driver pulled over, and this guy got off, and Errol said, he was like, "What happened? What happened?" Because I didn't understand Turkish very well, and he said this man had said, "They've got the right idea. They should kill them all."
Oh,
And I was like, "That was not very bright." In
not only not very
the
bright,
Kurdish
that's a really stupid human being. I'm not assimilating to that culture. Whatever
me
is in his head.
but Istanbul is such a big city, it's sort of hard to hold it in your head. You know, you can take I have a friend who taught in the university there. I went to go visit her at the university, and I took a tram, a bus, a funicular, another bus to get to her. And then we went to visit another friend of hers on the other side of the river. So there's the European side and the Asian side. And to get to see her friends, we took a bus, a ferry, a subway, a bus, and a cab, and we were still in Istanbul.
My God. You're just like, shouldn't we be in Belarus now by now? Are we in Bulgaria yet?
And the different neighborhoods were Some of them were like different planets.
Oh, I bet.
I absolutely fell in love with Istanbul.
Yeah.
The political situation there is terrible, but
Yeah.
except for a few space holes.
Yes. And
Except for
then
a few awful people that I met, I met some lifelong friends there.
yeah.
So,
And that's see, and that's the beauty, the beauty of you taking the risk, and how you didn't understand that it people were saying you were brave, but it's so brave to go hide for a few days in a room to try to adjust to another city, because a lot of people couldn't do that, and a lot of people just don't. They'll just be like, oh, I don't need to go there, blah 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 blah. And it's just like, no, you know what, you should probably go everywhere and do exactly as you do and just be scared, and then start to embrace. And it's not easy. And I think the beauty of it is when we do the things that aren't easy. Oh, and that's when our soul is enriched. Do you follow those guys? Yes Theory, I think their name, they call themselves, and they have this
No.
they have a YouTube channel, and they just go places like that are hard, and they find out like, oh my God, they're kind of beautiful, and all they have all these t-shirts, and they say seek discomfort is their like logo. And I'm just like going, when I'm even feeling like that in the city that I live in, where I'm just going, I'm feeling uncomfortable, because I generally just feel uncomfortable no matter where I am.
I
But
feel
it's like,
you.
oh wait, no, seek discomfort. Good things come out of this. And when they show their shows on their YouTube channel, they end up being embraced. At least they make friends with people here and there. And then what they'll do is they'll be like, oh, you've never traveled outside of Norway? Oh my God. And then they'll get that person on some trip down into like the middle of Africa. They're like, we're gonna go here, and we're gonna meet you at the airport. And it's like their first time out of the country. And it's this beautiful thing that keeps building and building and building with those guys. Yeah. But the
There
beauty
have
of, go ahead.
no, there have definitely been times when I've arrived in a place and said, "What was I thinking?
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. Why? Why did I do this to myself?"
Yeah.
And then it usually gets better after that.
Was there a place where it didn't get better and you're just like, get me out of here?
Not really. I mean, there was one place where I really never felt like I fit. And that was in Serbia.
Oh, right. Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
I did it was because I met these two dudes in a bar. Of course, as you do.
Two Serbs walk
One
into a
was,
bar.
one was Serbian and one was Bosnian, and they were best friends.
Yeah.
So I considered that a good sign.
Yeah.
And the Serbian dude said, we meet in this bar every Thursday. And I told him my name and what I was doing. And he said, yeah, come back on another Thursday. And I did go back a couple weeks later, and he said, "Oh, I looked up your work. I have an artist residency at this village in Serbia. You want to go? Want to be our first American?" I'm like,
Oh,
"Yeah,
wow.
okay." So it was this tiny doll-sized cottage in a village of 300 people in the mountains of Serbia, and he didn't even live there. He put me in touch with this woman in Belgrade who met me at the airport, and she took me out to the village and then dropped me off. She lived in Belgrade. And everybody knew who I was. I was not only the first American to do this residency, which was just me alone in this cottage.
I feel like you need a rape
I
whistle
was.
if I'm just like sitting there going,
But they did.
I
I
think
did.
I would need one because I would be like going, oh my God, what, you're putting me in this empty place, you're not even here, and now I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I did meet the farmer next door, the farmer, the farmers. It was a married couple that had a cherry orchard, and they left a bottle of homemade slivovitz in my fridge. I didn't have any food, but I had slivovitz. I had hooch, and I had to register with the police. In some countries, that's what you have to do when you enter. So I had to register with the police in the teeming metropolis of 1200, the closest town that actually had a cafe and a grocery store. There was nothing in the village. So the cops knew where I was, which I didn't know whether that was a good thing or a bad thing. I did meet a couple of lovely people. Nobody spoke English. So I had been taking Croatian, just did took a little bit of Croatian, which is essentially the same. But I did a lot of Google Translate trying to chat with my neighbors. I was not only the first American to do the residency, but I was the first American in historic memory to ever go to that village. And there was the it was divided in two. So there was the upper part of the village closest to, there was an Orthodox church at the top. And so the upper part of the village was Orthodox royalists from way back, before World War II. And then the lower half were atheists, communists. And this the village had only gotten electricity a dozen years before I lived there, and they only installed streetlights in the lower half of the village. And I was, the guy who had the residency did come out to visit, and he was telling me this, and I said, this was the war was what, 75 years ago. This is still a thing. And he said, oh, there are fights going back centuries. We don't let go of things. And that was kind of what I was feeling like. I would never fit there.
You're
There
like,
were
where's the
people who
decaf
were going.
agnostic part of town? They're like, you're in it. You are it. No.
There was one couple that was an Orthodox dude and an atheist woman that had married, and they were aliens for doing that. The priest tried to baptize me.
Then that must have brought up a lot from your Mormon upbringing, where you're sitting there and you have no idea. This is triggering. This is triggering.
Well, it then he did finally, I finally managed to communicate that I had already been baptized into another church, and okay, that counts. You're covered.
It's all about what velvet rope you can get behind in the afterlife.
Yes. That's right. That's right. I might have been,
In the
I
nightclub
wasn't a cool
circular.
kid, but yeah.
Note to
So
self.
yeah, that
Yeah, go ahead.
yeah, that's that was probably the only place that I didn't
Did you, I
follow
mean, at
the
some point, did you feel the energy and go, I just need to get out of here? Or
Yeah, I mean, I stuck it out.
you
I
did?
was there
Okay.
for 3 months.
Yeah.
It was, I did have a car that kind of ran. So I could go to town and go to the grocery store. I would have to, if I wanted to make a call, I'd have to hike up to the top of the mountain.
Light the
It
fire, bring the
was,
blanket out, kind of do smoke signal things.
yeah, it was intense. There was one kid who grew up in the village who was studying in Greece, staying at a monastery in Greece, who came back to visit his father, and he spoke English. And so he took me hiking with a couple of his friends. This dude Belly, who was who'd fought in the war in the 90s,
Yeah.
and said we should have killed them all.
Oh,
And
speaking of,
this,
oh, go ahead.
yeah, speaking of Bosnians, yeah, and he was a really friendly dude.
Yeah.
He was saying, smiling, like, okay, hey.
You know what?
Right.
Let's go back to the now I'm totally scared to say it.
Gimaraj.
Gyarmesh,
Gimaraj. Gimaraj.
Gyarmesh,
Gui. Gimaraj.
Gyarmesh,
The place, yes.
the thing, the place. When I got to stay there, and I got to stay there longer than I wanted to because I got sick, which turned out
Yeah,
to,
yeah.
it's just like if I'm gonna get sick somewhere, may as well be in a wonderful village in Portugal. But I found my favorite cafe, and I told you what my favorite cafe was, and you're like, oh, I that guy. I think it was the old man's cafe that was near the hotel I was staying at. And it was right by that really small square. So there's the big square. Do you remember the hotel I was at? Or no? In
I don't remember the hotel because
so
there's so
so
many small squares and so many old man cafes.
okay, yeah. The we were there's the big turnaround. In the major flat part, and then you go up a little alley. My hotel was behind there, and then there was a small square that was like away from the main piazza square. And there was and it was just and it was the old man who ran the place, and it was €1.50 for my cafe every morning. And it was my favorite cafe because there was no tourists there. It was only the locals, and I was the weird foreigner who came by. And then finally they're like, oh wait, you've kind of come here like in the last 8 days. And I'm like, obrigado, to the bang. And but you told me
He
that
gives you.
he fought during like he fought he was a part of the like fascist taking down the fascist or something. He was a part of the some type of huge resistance in Portugal, and now he was just in his 80s running a coffee bar. And I'm just like, and it, I just that was like one of my favorite spots of that trip was just sitting at that cafe reading, drinking my coffee in the morning. And yeah, I don't even think he had croissants or anything. It's just like, or no, wait, the hotel insisted that I had there was like no. There was no not breakfast on the thing. It's just like, no, you have breakfast. That's right. I'm like, I'm gonna if I have breakfast, I'm eating there. Cause I live like a monk. So just like, si, obrigado, you know, like, oh,
Yeah, if
more,
the food is
yes,
included,
I gotta fill this up because I can't spend too much out there. And then but getting that espresso from the old man. I should have took a photo with him. You know, I look back and wait, maybe when I go again, I'll go see him and hopefully he's still.
I know a couple of revolutionaries in
Revolutionaries.
Gimaraj.
Yeah. You knew exactly who he was. And you're like, oh, wait. And you just said his name. Whatever it was,
Yeah,
Monaco. And then we went to that restaurant that was behind, that was in the, it was in, you go through a parking garage and it looks like a dump. And then you walk in and it's a fine dining place.
Wait, did you go there with me or with Joy?
No, I went there with Don and
Alfredo?
I forgot his name.
Alfredo? No.
Starts with an F.
Alfred? No. Alfredo.
Yeah,
Do you go
Alfredo,
with
Alfredo.
Alfredo?
Yes, I'm so sorry I forgot his name because I got to hang out with him a few times. He's such a cool dude. But yeah, he took us there, and the guy who runs the place, he was translating, and he's like, "Yeah, no foreigners and nobody from Lisbon can come into that restaurant."
And
But we,
Alfredo's from Lisbon.
right. Oh, that's funny. He was just kind of going, "Oh, obrigado." But what was funny is well, we were given the pass. He was like, "Hey, I'm bringing my friends here, the friends of friends of friends," and they're like, "All right." So yeah, he gave the owner gave us crap the whole time, and then he introduced me and Don to his entire family who were eating afterwards. I was just going, "Wow, this is insane!" I like having an entire family together like that. Just is so beautiful on so many levels, and they all work at the restaurant, and it's just like, oh wait, that's just what you do, and that's
It's a
kind of the
lot more,
beauty. Yeah.
yeah, it's a lot more family oriented here than in the US.
Yeah.
And it's normal for kids to stay in their parents' house
Yeah.
forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really different feeling. And people are very intense about where they're from. The village where I live now, there's a dude, there are too many markets. There's no supermarket, no pharmacy, no bank.
Yeah.
There are too many markets. And one has a very sweet and not very talkative owner, and the other one has a super talkative owner. And I asked the talkative owner if he was from here, and he said, "Oh no, I'm not from here. I'm from Ankara, which is an hour's walk."
Do you think I would be with these
3 minutes
filthy
by
people?
car.
But at the same time, let's compare that to Los Angeles, where what it depends what side of the 405 you're on. Because if you live in like Culver City I live near Los Feliz, there's a like, oh well, that's a shame. That's a shame you live on the other side of the Berlin Wall. I guess we'll see each other
We'll never
sometime.
see each other again.
And it's. The culture of Los Angeles, which is it's people brush it off, but when you're once you're inside, it's like I said, I need my boots on the ground. And like when I first came to LA, I had an idea about LA, and I said, you know what, I need to stop that San Francisco dude idea I have about LA when I go to LA, because LA, I need to be like a foreigner and learn the culture. And when I came at Los Angeles with that, Los Angeles opened its arms to me, and I was like, oh, there is magic here. Okay. And it's not like movie
There is.
business stuff and all that. It's just like neighborhood and just
Yes,
beauty.
there's a there are real there are actual people who live in LA.
Yeah. And who have lived? Yeah.
I did a couple of months stint in LA as well, just like all the other foreign places I've lived.
And how was the language barrier for you?
It was rough.
Yeah.
It was
Yeah.
rough. It takes a time to get over.
Caitlin Meyer, thank you so much for coming on the show. If we want to go, we need to go to your Patreon, just look up Caitlin Meyer, and also your book, Wiving, is the memoir that came out during COVID. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's
And
really good to talk with you, Tony.
it's always good. Cut. All right. Serving the communities of Santa Cruz and Los Gatos, you're listening to Pirate Cat Radio, KPCR LP 92.9 FM Los Gatos. 101.9 FM, Santa Cruz.